Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. We are so glad to be back. This is Kristen Cheetah, and I'm sitting with
Drew.
And on this podcast, we have somebody new that's joining us.
A new co-host.
New co-host, not new to staff anymore, but he was new to staff. So welcome to Isaac Ockery.
Hello, hello.
We are so happy to have you with us. So for our listeners who may not know, Nicole left us in the fall to go be a preschool teacher at King of Kings. So what she received here in the prayer room, she was going to go take and impart that to Little Hearts. And so with that...
So we had a vacant seat.
We did.
In our podcast studio.
We didn't know who was going to fill it.
We didn't know.
Who was going to fill it.
We cast lots. And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us.
And Isaac drew the short straw.
And Isaac drew, so.
So Isaac, because you're new to the podcast, not new to the prayer room.
That's right.
But will you just give us a little bit about who you are and your life, your family?
Yeah, so I born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska. My wife is from California, Northern California. We've been married for 2.5 years. We got pregnant a couple months into being married, and so we've got a 1.5-year-old, and then a baby on the way who could be coming today.
It's true. So, it's true.
Any minute, waiting for a call.
It's true, so, and we are all waiting for the call. So that is, yes, it's very, very exciting. But bottom line, we just have to remember that Jesus loves me the best,
right?
Because we were thinking Becca could have that baby during vertical,
yes,
which was our huge event, 168 hours of unending worship.
Huge.
And that would not have been good if you were not around for that.
No.
So we all found out that I am his favorite, and and there's that.
So I say, since you're a new co-host here, you know, I would just like to hear, you know, what episode really was your favorite podcast episode that really impacted you the most? What segment has really impacted your walk with the Lord, your time in the prayer room? You know, because Chris and I, we are very excited about these podcasts that we do.
It's true.
And so, you know, as a new co-host, you know, excited to jump right in. Tell us a little bit about that.
For some reason, neither of you have invited me into listening to a podcast, so I'm a little offended. I don't even know where to find it. I've been on staff for almost a year now, and you have not invited me into listening to a podcast.
What you're meaning to say is you have never listened.
I've never even heard of a podcast,
and yet you.
He got the short straw.
Here I am.
Wow. Well, to all of you listeners who faithfully have listened.
That's right.
And every month, even are joining us back after our
That's
long
right.
break. Because
we had
have
a hiatus.
Long
how long
had,
has it been?
A hiatus. We had a hiatus.
I'm not sure how long the hiatus was.
Probably
9 months.
Some of
you listeners know.
Wow, like when Becca, maybe, when this
like when
baby
Isaac,
was conceived.
It was even before that, I think. It was preconception.
I feel like there's something prophetic there.
But
yeah, that's right.
Thank you to all of you who join us faithfully. Even though you're not on staff, and you might be joining us from afar.
It's true.
Not even in Omaha in the prayer room with us.
Maybe not even America.
Right.
Maybe not even America. And yet you still listen.
It's true.
Even when some of us who are on staff for a year do not listen.
We could give the assignment, though. Because, let's just be real, they are awesome. Isaac, you are really missing something.
I feel like this really explains some just even any deficiencies we've seen in you the past year. And now I have the answer. So,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
But you will get caught up. So I love your... Mm-hmm.
So by next podcast, you'll be able
to listen to all 30
to
episodes.
All of
that's
them.
That's right.
Are there 30 of them?
There's probably not that many.
Well, however many there are.
That's right.
You'll be blessed. Just like That's all true. Your listeners have been.
And you can find them on our website.
Yeah, they have them on there.
onehop.org.
Before there, the beginning.
There is a, yep, there's a page to listen, and it's
says
part
podcast.
Of part of training up the body of Christ.
Training. Amen.
So you go to www.onehop.org.
That's right.
Let's just clear this up for all of you who may be like Isaac. www.onehop.org. You get to our website. It says Omaha, Nebraska House of Prayer. It has a nice little banner. That's new on the website. It probably needs to be updated.
And then, probably.
Well, you had vertical, okay? You have to give us a little grace.
A little grace.
Then it has up the top. You have home. You have... there's a give page. That's an important one.
True. Staff. These, staff page staff is a good one, too. Want to join? Come on.
So there's all these important pages. There's one that says training.
Yes.
Mm. You click on that training one, and there's a little pop-down menu that comes up.
Yep.
And it has some other things. Has our internship.
Is that where you
also
put,
important.
Yeah,
podcast. Your workout videos, true.
Well, I haven't been able to go to the gym for a couple of days. I hurt myself running. Mm. But I'm going to be back in it. And I've already talked with Terry Cole. Shout out to Terry if you're listening. Terry and I are going to start making some workout videos in the prayer room.
Amen.
This is a new ministry that we're starting. So stay tuned.
Yes.
Stay tuned because if you're in the prayer room, you sit a lot. Well, sitting is not good for us. So that's why Terry and I are partnering together. And we're to be creating this new workout series.
It's the bridge anyway between HOP from Council Bluffs to Omaha. HOP to One Hop.
It's a partnership there.
Well,
it's
you
a
know,
partnership.
We really felt
true
like because
partnership.
Now there's that Bob Carey bridge that you can literally walk on.
There you go.
No more driving, sitting in your car. The Lord is getting us up and active. So Terry and I are going to be
So look
that.
For those.
Look for those. They'll be called Sweating in the Spirit. And
and we've already had a taste of that.
Just a small taste, down payment. But there's the fullness coming. But anyway, you go to the training, pop-down menu, podcast, and then there also is even podcast notes.
It's true.
Because sometimes we have notes with our podcast. So it's
good.
Important to read the notes.
That's right.
Listen
That's right.
intently. And I already can see in the spirit, Isaac, you just studying. Listening intently, studying, having your Bible in one hand.
That's right.
Yeah, the podcast notes. Just
enjoying our banter.
Enjoying. And I'm looking forward, eagerly anticipating... What is your favorite podcast?
Oh, that could be a question.
Your favorite segment of the podcast.
Which the favorite segment would probably be reviews by Drew.
Well, I didn't want to say that. I wanted to stay humble. But I do know that it is often the favorite segment of many people's podcasts. So as you're listening to that segment, you could even let us know what your favorite review.
It's true.
What episode
it's true.
Really impacted your heart and stirred you to read or listen.
Yes. Yeah, and there could be resources on there that you've already been reading. You've
Maybe.
Already been studying.
Or new.
Yeah.
You just never know.
It's true.
It's that impactful.
It's true.
So speaking of reviews by Drew, I know that is all of you at home listening, your favorite segment. And I realize we have been on a long hiatus.
We have.
I mean, there
it's
has
been
not
way
been
too
a
long.
New review. Hopefully you guys have stayed reading. I mean, what would you even read, though? You don't even know. Outside the word of the Lord. So hopefully you're still reading. But we will resume our review by Drew. We're not going to do that this episode. I know. It's okay to shed a tear.
That's right.
But we will resume
it's
it next month.
It's a sad
We'll resume it next month. April is a good month to resume. It's just the beginning of spring. It's a good month to resume.
So now what you're doing is building anticipation.
Anticipation.
For what the review will
yes.
be.
Yes. So, and you might even... I'm not going to prophesy it, but you might even get a double portion of reviews just because.
Oh, wow.
Kind of do some catch up.
Because it needs some catch up.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's true. Well, so look forward to that. We've just come out of a week, which we're so excited. It's like the perfect time to start the podcast back. We just came out of a week of 168 hours of unceasing worship. For those of you that were a part of it, we are so thankful. So grateful for you giving of your time and energy into just pouring out to the Lord during that week and just being an offering before Him. So we just wanted to share like maybe something that was just a favorite for us when we were looking back just in our staff meeting, just kind of talking about what we feel like the Lord was doing with vertical. So I don't know if one of you guys have something right off the top of your head that you want to share. About a favorite thing that happened or you experienced, or Drew made it alive. He's through it. That's his.
I did. I was led worship 38 hours. and was here about half the time because I could not sleep the whole time during vertical. Part of it, I was just excited because we were having 168 hours continuous worship and prayer in our city, which we have not had in the 4 years that the House of Prayer has been open. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it was very exciting. And so I made it through the night. That was my shift, was mostly in the night and the early morning. And I had grace from the Lord, thankfully, to mostly stay awake and mostly stay somewhat engaged with the Lord and leading worship. And but I was just so excited to have people here. There was even some in the middle of the night. Yeah. Not many, but there were some. And that was very exciting for me. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved just the sense of the momentum through the week. Mm-hmm. Of when we started to when we finished, of just God's presence being manifest, and the peace and the I don't know, there's just a special presence about the whole mm-hmm. week. So mm-hmm.
yeah, something that, and for me too, I just love, I felt like there was the momentum also, and we had people just we had a sign-in sheet for people who wanted to. You weren't forced to sign in, but there were 38 churches represented that walked through mm-hmm. and hung out with us and prayed through the little prayer rooms and joined us in the main prayer room for worship. And I just feel like that to me was just so awesome mm-hmm. to think we now have connection with 38 yeah. with 38 churches.
Yeah. And five different cities.
And five different cities.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
At least.
Yeah. 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 It was really, really something. And you know, we were blessed to have, we had a couple of our faithful gatekeepers that took the week off of work, yep. and just, shout out to Leonard yes. and Vince. Woo-hoo-hoo. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
And just served so faithfully yes. At One Hop during that week. And we missed our team, because it's just Isaac, Drew, and I, and Christine here on staff. And mm-hmm. because we were doing different hours, it was awesome to be in the presence of the Lord and just have that here. But man, it's kind of fun to be back and just we're back together as a team. So
that's
why
we did the podcast again.
Yeah, it's true. Yep, it's true. Right, something here. that was something that we missed.
Yes. Yes.
And then we had Hannah in town mm-hmm. from Washington, D.C. She came
awesome.
And served yep. With us for that week. We were her mission trip. Right. How cool is that?
Yes.
Go to Omaha for yeah. mission trip.
Yeah. Yes. And speaking of Hannah Verboon, on this podcast today, you will get the great pleasure of hearing an interview with Hannah. So like we were saying, Hannah actually took a week off of, she's a missionary in David's Tent. She used to be on staff with us. Now she's in Washington, D.C. doing 24/7 worship and prayer there. And she took a week off to come join us at Vertical. And so in this next segment, you'll hear a portion of her interview as she just shares a little bit of her heart and what she was sensing from the Lord. And so enjoy this interview with Hannah.
Hey, this is Kristen Cheetah, and I am sitting here with great excitement. I'm sitting with Hannah Verboon.
Hi.
And Hannah used to be on staff with us yes. at One Hop, and from the beginning, almost from the very beginning of One Hop, so that's very exciting. And sadly, there was a moment in time where she left us, and she made her way to the East Coast, to Washington, D.C., to serve full-time at David's Tent. So, welcome, first of all, Hannah.
Thank
and
you.
Hannah's back this week. She came back to Omaha to do a mission trip to come and serve with us for Vertical. Mm. We're almost to the end, sadly, of 168 hours, and so we've just pulled away into one of our offices to. I just want to have a conversation with her, and I don't want to miss this time that she's with us. So. Hannah, would you just share quickly we know that you serve on David's Tent, so can you just give a quick history maybe of David's Tent and what that is in Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely. So David's Tent is a 24/7 perpetual live worship tent on the National Mall. David's Tent, officially the version that it is now, began September 11th, 2015. And since that day, there has not been a moment where the song, we call it the Song on the Mall, where the Song on the Mall has stopped. It has been a live There's always somebody leading worship. There's always at least three staff in the tent carrying the fire before the Lord at all times. So I don't have the exact number in my head, but I know we've passed 900 days of continual worship.
That's so awesome.
And our goal, we call it the love song to Jesus. Mm. Our goal is that we would be exalting Jesus, that we would keep him company, as it were, that we would be present with him at all times, because we believe at the end of the day that Jesus is worthy. Yes. And so it's very similar to what we do here at One Hop, but our difference is that we don't do intercession as a rule. It's just worship all the time, and it's a really cool thing.
Okay, so before we go on...
Oh, should I explain why we just do worship?
Yeah, would you explain why we just do worship?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what we've discovered is that our heart for David's Tent is that it would be a parachurch organization, that it would supplement the body of Christ. It's not its own church, it's not its own thing. So all of us on staff, most of us should have our own churches.
Which is similar to the way we are here.
So yes, very similar to One Hop. Like, I know that we probably represent four different churches here at One Hop, right? So the reason it's just worship is because we've discovered that within the body of Christ, everyone can agree that Jesus is worthy of worship, but not everyone can agree on how to pray.
Agreed.
And so there's all this, that people, there's controversy about how are you praying, or or why did you pray like that, or why are you praying this statement. And so we, occasionally people will do pray, and we ask that it always be declarative.
Yes.
Lord, you are. Lord, this is your nature. God, you do these things, but not like, Lord, we pray that you would do this for me, because we never want to bridge into intercession. We want to keep it solely focused on the nature and character of God, because we believe that that is what unites the most people, and we believe that everyone in the church can agree that Jesus is worthy.
Well, and with that too, I mean, when you think about David's tent in the Bible, it was completely centered around who Jesus is, or who God is. And we adopted, from talking with you, as we were planning for vertical, we adopted that same model, that during vertical, we are only doing worship. There's no intercession. And for that same reason, we just want, and if anybody is maybe praying, but it's, and I don't think we've even had that, but it's just declaring the greatness of who God is, and keeping it focused on him. And when I was sharing with my mom what we were going to be doing, and even in our worship, that worship, you know, it was vertical. It's all about the one, just as it is at David's tent.
Yes.
And my mom, she's so precious, and she said, oh my goodness, I think I would be in tears the whole time, because there's something so beautiful about when you sing about the glory of Jesus and the beauty of who he is and the majesty.
I'm getting chills right now.
I know. And I said to her, yes, that is because of who he is, but he's so worth our adoration and declaring that. So thank you for giving some background on that. It's excellent. And also in vertical, we adopted your Ezra platform, which is totally my favorite.
Ezra's platform is a station out of David's tent. And I was telling Kristen about it, and all it is a continuous read through of the Bible from start to finish in order. And the heart is that you would declare the word of God. And do you see, it's, we're declaring it over our nation's capital, but here we're declaring it over the city of Omaha, because there's so much power in the spoken word, because the word of God does not return void.
Right.
And so I love where, I don't even know where we at in the Ezra's platform right now.
We're in 1 Kings or 2 Kings.
That's
so we're moving.
Impressive.
Yeah.
We do this at David's tent. It's constantly there. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times you've read through the Bible, more than 14 times for sure. From start
that's
to cover.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, like, already we're so far into the Bible. I'm like, just the it's crazy to me that Omaha is like saturated in the Word of God right now.
Yeah. Yes, right? I know. In worship to Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
continuous.
It's an incredible thing just to see it happening.
Right. So I've been really blessed by just having you share what you do, and then we're kind of just stealing it from you.
Absolutely.
So what would you say would be something that really drew you to David's tent to go and serve there and give, I mean, a completely different culture?
Totally.
Completely different city, just a little bigger than Omaha.
Just smidgen.
And just even thinking about just the dynamics with being in, you know, the Capitol, the White House, like the center of all politics for our nation. What was it that really drew your heart to go and serve there?
That's a great question. For me, when I went to David's tent, the word the Lord gave to me, I initially went for 2 months. And my heart was that I would go for 2 months and then I would come back and stay plugged in with the house of prayer. And about a month into being at David's tent, I was like, oh, the Lord is calling me long term. And the reason for that is the word the Lord gave for me is to fall in love with Jesus. And I discovered when I was there, I've been working night watch for almost the entire year and a half that I've worked at David's tent. There have been certain, like maybe a month, couple months period of time where I've been on the days. But in the middle of the night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's such a thin place where Jesus draws near and he speaks to your heart individually and tenderly, and he uncovers things. And so the reason I said yes to David's tent was because the Lord asked me to go fall in love with him. And about a month in, I was like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I haven't fallen in love with Jesus yet. I can't leave until I'm in love with the Lord, because I never want my life to be soaked in ministry, but to miss Jesus. Like, I don't want to be standing side by side with Jesus, but at such a distance that I can't hold his hand. And so I really felt like, for me, the draw to David's tent was, I discovered in this thin, secret place of worship, like continual worship, where at 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody's watching me and nobody's pressuring me, and there's nothing there, and I can just sing the book of John for an hour. You know, that's what I'm doing. I've discovered in that secret place where Jesus is safe. And that was what was beginning to stir in my heart last October when I was there. I was like, I have to stay. I have to stay in this place. I have to remain because God is here. And God is here at One Hop as well. But for me specifically, God was like, I want to melt your heart in the place of just worship. No more. It's not, there's no warfare. It's not it's just like you and me right here, right now. And you know, the type of worship is all exaltation of Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And you become like that which you behold.
Yes, right on.
And so when I'm singing, Jesus, your eyes are like flames of fire. Your hair, it's as white as wool. Your voice is the sound of many waters. All of a sudden, I'm like, I can hear.
Yeah.
Sound of waters. Like I can see and feel the fire on my hands, and I'm like, okay, like I'm beholding Jesus. And so that's ultimately what kept me there. It's kept me there.
Well, and you know, you just talking about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, who wouldn't want to do the night watch? Like, seriously, I'm like, well, wait a minute. 3 a.m. sounds really awesome about right now.
And you know, I recently made the switch to day watch because I have a full-time second job at David's tent, and I can't do both. I can't do night watch well and my other job well. My other responsibilities in the community, and already I miss it. I've been on day watch like 2 weeks before I came here, and I'm like, it's not the same. Yeah. You know, during the day you have to, like, you just, the sun's up and you feel like you feel less exposed, you feel less safe, and you're like, I can't be as vulnerable in worship. And I feel, for me, the Lord will take me to that place where I'll be as vulnerable in the day as I am at night. But right now, like that transition period, I'm like, like, Lord, I miss 2 a.m. you. Like, I know that you're the same at 10 a.m., but I miss 2 a.m. you, where it's just you and me alone.
Yeah.
I miss the Edward song here. It's you and me alone, you and me alone, God.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, night watch will wreck you, man.
Yeah,
you're
good.
Ruined. You can't do anything but love. Yeah. You can't do it. You're like, I just want to go to the tent and lay on the floor and weep for an hour. Yeah. Like, that's what I want.
Okay, that's awesome. Oh my gosh. Well, so there would be an opportunity for us in Nebraska. Can you just kind of share what's happening this year?
Yeah.
Because I can't remember what it's called. I never remember.
It's okay. So David's tent is doing something called Day Beyond the Dawn, which is connected to an event that happened on October of 2017 called Awake in the Dawn, where there was all 50 states came for 3 days, 72 hours of continual worship on the National Mall. It was incredible to be there and to walk the mall and be like, oh my gosh, all of these tents are all doing worship.
Look at, there's Mississippi. There's Wisconsin.
It was great because there were tents, like Utah was there, but Utah didn't send a team. I guess there weren't enough people early enough. So like the tent next to Utah would send their worship leaders to the U. So Nevada and Utah or whatever states are next to each other, they were like carrying, the other states were adopting. Oh, Texas, so like, awesome. Texas had such an enormous team that they kept going to other tents and were like, can we lead worship? The only time I led worship for Awaken the Dawn outside of David's tent, I was walking the mall. And one, I can't even remember which state. I think maybe it was Rhode Island. Some mm-hmm. state didn't have worship. And I was like, do you need a worship leader?
What's going on?
Yeah, and I hopped on. I hopped in their tent and led worship for an hour until the next worship leader came back. And I was like, it was the only time I didn't lead at the Nebraska tent. Nothing. I just was walking by a tent. And I was like, do you need worship? And so I went in. And okay, so out of that place of all this tent, all the states coming, David's tent is creating a place for every state to send a team to our tent. So it's called Day Beyond the Dawn. And so we have reserved weeks of the year for each state to bring a team to host David's tent. That's what we're calling it, the hosting of David's tent. So that each state would learn how to carry the anointing, the fire, the passion, mm-hmm. the drive, the vision of 24/7 worship. Mm-hmm. So we are 20% of the way through Day Beyond the Dawn. So we have Virginia is this week. It's the 10th out of the 50 states to come. We also have space for, I think, some of the territories.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And First Nations as well. I don't know when all their states are. But we saw Delaware came and hosted almost the entire week. Wow. 24 with less than a couple months notice. Because Awaken the Dawn was in October. And then January 1st.
And they kicked it off?
Yeah, Delaware. So the way that it's working is each state is coming in the order they entered the union. So that's why Nebraska is in September.
Oh, super cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, now, I've already had input from the early states that they think it would be great to switch it up a little so they're not always freezing, which God bless them. Poor Pennsylvania was so cold that week. But Pennsylvania, they also brought, I want to say something like 55 people came through the tent for Pennsylvania week. Those first 2 weeks of the year, our full-time staff there were given such a blessing of a break. Where, I mean, I went in and we did worship, but it wasn't the 8 hours a day it normally is. And it was such a blessing. And so since then we've had, the other states come in. I can't remember all the orders, but
that's awesome.
A team from Georgia came. They sent like 5 people, and they all came in at different times. But the first 2 of their team were worship leaders, and they were burn worship leaders.
Oh, yeah.
And so in the burn kind of anointing, and you're like, I missed this. And so what's happening is we're seeing each state coordinator bring a team, and people are catching the vision for Jesus is worthy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all about Jesus is worthy. Mm-hmm. Can we get the focus off of, like Jesus is only worthy of worship on Sunday morning?
Yes, right.
And can we put it back where it belongs, which is
all the time,
right? You know,
all the time.
Night and day, night and day. Relighting. I don't know what the word, or maybe lighting for the first time the fire of, like, what is the tabernacle of David, and so. Yeah, that's what Day Beyond the Dawn is. And so
awesome. I'm excited.
I believe the state coordinator for Nebraska, if you're listening to this, is Steve Johnson. Mm-hmm. I don't know who Iowa's is.
I'm not sure either.
Steve Johnson would know. You guys can go. There's an Awaken the Dawn Nebraska Facebook page. And so your state coordinator there, you guys can connect with him. Or you can email us at David's Tent and say, hey, I have these questions. Mm-hmm. How do I get involved? And if you email David's Tent, daybeyondthedawn@davidstentdc.org.
Okay.
You can get plugged in with us, and we can help you guys get set up.
Okay, say it again.
daybeyondthedawn@davidstentdc.org. Okay. Or if you're just like, that's too much,
info@davidstentdc.org. DC.org.
And just put Nebraska in the subject line.
Okay, that's awesome. Because we'd love to have a huge group sent from Nebraska.
From me personally, I'm like, please, all the Nebraskans,
all my friends, come.
Yes, come. Come lead worship. I already can't wait for that.
I know, I can't. And September's great because it's still warm. Yeah. That makes my heart really happy.
But on our end, Nebraska week is a good week to come.
That's right. I don't know if I'd be jumping up and down if we were January or February.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Can you just give me maybe something that you've experienced personally being at the tent, and then something that I know you and I have talked so much about, just the community there. What have you experienced? What can you share with us that's like a corporate, something that has really been something significant maybe for you guys corporately?
Corporately, yeah. So personally, I feel like for me, the last year and a half has been this incredible journey of learning about the Father's heart. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I have really struggled to feel safe with God. That's been a huge issue for me. And I have personally been so poured into by one specific person, but there are obviously several in this community. I've been so mentored into this place of like, wow, God is safe. It's actually my screen background, because I need that reminder that God is safe. That I can, my mentor, like, he was like, when I just need to reset with the Lord, I envision myself at the lake, sitting in the cabin with the Father, and we play chess, and I talk to the Lord. And I was like, that's genius!
Yeah.
And so when I need to feel safe, I go to this enormous, beautiful house with this beautiful big kitchen, and it's like floor-to-ceiling windows, because I'm all about light. And the Father always has a cup of coffee waiting for me. And I've had several visions while I'm out there. It's just like moments where the Lord interrupts my train of thought and is like, hey, I have a cup of coffee for you. Come and sit with me. I wanna pour into you. And so on a personal level, man, God is so safe. He is so trustworthy. And I really have, like, I feel like the music and the worship that I pour out is coming from this place of deep understanding of how safe God is.
Well, and before we go on to the next one, but what I've experienced in my life is that when you have this tangible experience with the Lord, like, you know Him experientially, there is an authority that you step into.
Absolutely.
And it's like it just rises from within you. So even what you're talking about, then what you would sing would bring forth just in this place of authority and influence to those who would be listening. So
what I've noticed, I'm a prophetic worship leader. I write so much music all the time. But sometimes where I've noticed the most impact is from the most simple phrases. And there's a song that I sing, and it's just, I am safe, I am known, I am loved, I am wanted. And that song, I've heard other people sing it at David's tent. People will tell me that this is a song that's ministered to them. And it's the most simple phrases, but I feel like what it, like you're saying, from the place of authority of, like, I know that I'm safe. I know that I'm known. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm wanted. And I often, like, when I teach people about how to lead worship, one of the things that I tell them is that if you're not able to explain to people, like, this is what I see when I'm worshiping with this song, if you're singing from a place of experiential knowledge, the song itself carries an anointing and a breakthrough, and other people are going to experience that, even if it's not, even if you're not up there going, now here's why this is important. Here, let me tell you why Jesus is safe. But me going, I am safe. There's something in that breakthrough, because I come and I'm like, no, I know who I am. I know who God has made me to be.
Well, I'm going to jump on that, because as an intercessor, not a worship leader, but it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
So when I'm in the prayer room and we're in worship and I'm preparing for what I'm going to pray, I'm not thinking, well, what am I going to pray? I'm asking the Father, what's on your heart? What do you want to release? So when I can get up and it's that same thing, like I see something.
Exactly.
I feel something. Oh my gosh. And I stand like as a trumpet.
Yes.
And others, I don't have to sit and say, oh, wow, I was just really captured up to the throne room, you know, and give it what it looks like. But I can, by my words and by the tone and by the authority in the voice, it's this commanding
presence. It's all about authority.
It is all about authority.
That's so good.
It is. But you don't get there unless you've had the experience, that experiential knowledge with the Lord. So, okay.
All right,
so we could do this. We could
do this all time.
I guess talking about the authority of the Lord is forever.
Okay, so what's something that we've experienced corporately? It's a great question.
Yeah.
Our community has an anointing for inner healing and transformation in the presence of the Lord. Something that is an incredible experience about being on staff at David's Tent, more than just like coming to visit for a couple days or coming in to lead worship, is that as a community, we are aggressive about getting our hearts clean before God. And something that I've experienced there is the willingness and the stick with itness, the tenacity of our team to say, hey, you just triggered me. It's not you. Mm-hmm. But I'm upset right now. Like, the communication of that is so interesting. It's been modeled for me so well. And I think our community as a whole really carries just an authority in that place, because we're so transparent and so vulnerable, and we're so willing to admit, like, I'm triggered right now. Like, something in me needs something that you can't give me, or you just said something that made me feel invalidated. And I know the only way this is going to get fixed is through the Lord. And what that does is it creates this, like, constant flow of, like, we are sharpening each other. It's one of the first things they say to anybody when who comes in this, oh, you want staff here? Cool. Ready? Holy sandpaper. This community is holy sandpaper. It's the first thing they told me. It's the first thing. Yeah, one of my roommates just got here a couple months ago. And she was like, yeah, this is that holy sandpaper they talked about. And I'm like, wow, we're still integrating with people. Like, that's still the first thing we tell them. Because you and I could have a conversation. But because we're being real with each other, if you said something to me that offended me, all of a sudden I can then say, hey, not to judge your heart, but I was just offended. Will you pray with me? Something in this moment, you know, offended me. And obviously there's safe people to do that with. Right. But I'm not going to, there's certain people I'm not going to be like, will you pray with me on this? But the awareness, the seeing it worked out with all of these people, from Jason Hershey, my boss Ryan, house leaders, watch leaders, my coworkers, seeing everyone be so persistent about, we want our hearts to be so free of entanglement with the world, because we cannot love Jesus if there's filter. We can love Jesus, but you can't run the race with perseverance and steadfastness if your heart is connected to all these things in the past and it's triggering you and you're constantly in shame, condemnation, and fear.
Well, and you can't get on a keyboard or behind a guitar.
There's no authority in it.
Right, because that just muddles, it kind of muddles it all up. And I don't remember, I said this, I say it all the time, community is messy, but it works. Like, it's God's design to, he wants us to love one another in that way. And I love that David's Tent has put such an effort into, that the leaders have put such an effort into making authentic, really a covenant kind of community.
Exactly.
Because that is not seen very many places. So even anyone who leaves that will have had that influence of the culture, which then they can take and plant that into the next place that they go, wherever that is. So excellent. 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 I love that. I had no idea what you were going to say to that. Okay. Two more. And give me a highlight of this last year for you at David's Tent.
It almost always comes in the place of leading worship. So there was one day where somebody had come to me speaking Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. So we called the Brazilian who speaks Portuguese. And she was like, I don't speak Spanish. And I'm like, well, you're closer than I am, so give it a go. And we kind of roughly translated that this lady was speaking Spanish to me, that she was bringing a team. And we were like, okay, you're bringing a team? She's like, yeah, I'm bringing a team from Chile. And I was like, okay, cool. Awesome. I don't know what that, okay. Like, they had sent emails, but the emails were in Spanish, and nobody on our staff speaks Spanish. So they brought this team, and the long story short is it worked out. They brought, I want to say, like, 60 kids.
I remember the video.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Something like 60 kids. And so for me, the first, they came 2 days in a row. They led worship one day. But the day before they led worship, I guess they were doing like a scouting trip or something. I don't know. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know what they were doing. But I'm leading worship, and I'm like, you know when you're just like in the place of worship and there's nobody? It's like in the prayer room where there's no one. And so you're like,
we have that a lot. Yeah.
It's like the most relatable thing in prayer rooms ever. You lead worship and no one's there. So you're just doing your thing. You and Jesus are connecting. So me and Jesus are connecting, and it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, yeah, Lord, I'm worshiping you. And 60 kids come in, and I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know what to, I don't know how to lead 60 people. And something in me knew that they spoke Spanish. This was before I knew who they were, and I didn't recognize them as a group. And so I didn't know that they were the Chile group, but obviously the Holy Spirit was like, they speak Spanish. And I was like, I don't know any Spanish songs except for Yo Tengo Gozo, 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 en mi corazón. And I was like, Lord, I feel like that's a bit young for this group. And so I'm like, Jesus, now I have King of My Heart. I can do like the chorus and the bridge in Spanish. But I did not have this last year. And I'm like, all right, Lord, like, I don't know. And Holy Spirit was like, play Let Heaven Come. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So I'm like, oh, I don't know in Spanish. He was like, just go for it. And I was like, okay. So I start and I go in Our Father. And I go, on earth as it is, and as soon as you can't, I'm sorry, I can't sing very well today because I'm pouring out my heart in vertical.
That's exactly right.
So I have no voice left. Sounds much better when I have a voice. And I'm like, on earth as it is, and as I go into that phrase, the entire tent, 60 kids in Spanish, sing with me in English. Because the melody was so, like, everyone knows the song.
Yeah.
But how was I supposed to know that they know that song in Chile? It's a Bethel song. Like, how am I supposed to know? And so we sang the whole song. They sang the whole song in Spanish. And I sang it in English. And we all just kind of, like, nod at each other. We're like, this is an awesome moment. And the Holy Spirit chills that came on me. And the Lord was so confirming in that moment for me of, like, you're a worship leader. You know, and I will always lead you as the Holy Spirit. I will always lead you. In the right, and it was such a confirmation to me that I hear the voice of the Lord, because I was like, I could have picked how many songs to sing, and I was like, that moment is probably, I think back about that one a lot, because I'm like, there's, you know, as a worship leader in front of zero people, when suddenly there's 100 people and you're terrified, to have them sing with you, and not just sing with you, but sing with you in their language and be tracking with you, there was such a corporate unity. And I was like, I'm going to die up here. Yeah. I could die. I'm so happy. Like, this is it. This is like the corporate unity of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And then they came the next day, and it was, I mean, the Holy Spirit was so, I mean, people were all on the ground. Like, Holy Spirit was so open heaven. I mean, dance. They had orchestrated a beautiful, they had written their music and orchestrated prophetic dances for over the United States of America. Here's what's great about this. I feel like I could go on about this testimony forever. The people who brought all these kids were like part of an at-risk, like, foster care group that met. They were like a camp that met. These were kids who, like, didn't really have families or parents, and, like, they're like a low income. Like, there's nothing behind them that should say that these kids are going to the nation. So basically the capital of the free world. Like, what on earth? And all the funding came in supernaturally for them to come. And again, they had one translator for the entire group of people, and they still made it work. And the only reason they came to America was to lead worship at David's tent for 2 hours.
Oh my goodness.
Like, and I remember in that moment feeling this rush of, like, Jesus will call all men unto himself. Yeah. Like, the nations will come to the Lord. And that's not saying, like, at just at David's tent, but the significance of that, like, just like the significance of a nation. They sent like 60 people.
That's amazing.
To lead 2 hours. They didn't even come to cover a week of Day Beyond the Dawn. They came because they were like, we have a prophetic release. And we're going to do it
over
2 hours.
Over our nation.
And what's crazy is that they came and it was like sort of kind of winter. And so their set was from 6 to 8 p.m. And they were like, we've been trying to get a day watch, but obviously nobody speaks Spanish. And so they didn't know, like, how to communicate. And the day that they were supposed to play 6 to 8, the sun would have been down. And so they had come earlier in the day. And another worship leader was like, I'll give you my slot. You can play 2 to 4 or 4 to 6 or whatever it was, and I'll play your slot. Huh. And it just happened. Like, it was just this beautiful unity in the spirit of this of all these worship leaders coming together to be like, no, we're like willing to go out, like the unity of the Lord in that
so
moment.
So incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that whole story. I didn't know the whole story. Oh my gosh. So I don't know if this is part of an answer to what my last question is. how do you stay connected to your why? You know, what you're doing, how do you keep coming back to this is why I'm doing it? Because I do think, as you've shared, and what we do in the prayer room, I mean, there is sometimes, most of the time, there's nobody here.
Yeah.
And we just keep being faithful before the Lord and steadfast in what he's called us to do.
Totally.
So what is it that you do? And I'm sure there may be people listening that, not necessarily this has to be a prayer room thing, but...
Everyone has a why.
Right. Everyone has a why for what they do.
Exactly.
So what keeps you connected to what you're doing? What's your why?
I feel like there's a couple different things. My why am I at David's Tent is ultimately because I feel like the Lord has me there as a gift for that community for a season.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has things to release through me and in me and things that he wants to do to me, like to my heart. Mm-hmm. And so I am being steadfast until the Lord makes it very clear that it's time to move on. So I always have this thing in my head of like I'm not quitting.
Mm-hmm.
Like I will not quit until I
believe,
until I believe the Lord's released me. Mm-hmm. And it better be obvious. Y'all don't know my story about the confirmations for me to go to David's Tent, but it was so significant about how I was supposed to, like, the confirmation from the Lord to stay there, that there is no way I'm leaving unless it's equally as significant when he draws me out.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it, is there's a tenacity that I think I just carry.
Uh-huh.
That's part of just how the Lord made me. But, okay, again, how do you, but, like, in the real stuff.
In the mundane.
In the mundane.
In the boring.
Right.
In the, when you're reading the word and there's no life coming off of it.
Yeah.
When you're singing and you're like, I'm not even connected to your spirit today.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so tired. I'm so weak. I'm so sick.
You know, I've fallen asleep at the piano before. Playing at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm playing a C. And I fall asleep and wake up and I'm playing an F. Like, I've totally fallen asleep at the piano before. So how do you stay connected in that moment? I remember how I orient people. The first thing that I say to people when I orient them to the tent is, we never want Jesus to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lord, of course, isn't alone.
No,
but
if
Jesus were to walk into I call it my tent. It's my tent as much as it is anyone else's.
Yeah.
Jesus were to walk into my tent, and he were to be like, he would look at all three or four or five of us who were on shift that right in that moment. Would he find one person who would look at him and go, hey, come sit with me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's on your heart today? And the Lord is so sweet and
That's
so gentle
good.
That he always is like, he always wants to speak to us about us first. Because we're not equipped to do ministry unless we know that he loves us, cares about us, and is personally invested in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll always, like, what I'll notice, like, I'm totally disengaged from worship. I'm like, I've been playing this song. There's nothing here. What? I can't. And I'll just go, okay. And I take a moment in my head and I picture Jesus coming in and sitting next to me on the piano bench, or the Father, depending on who I need to feel safest with. And the Father always comes to me with a cup of coffee in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he'll walk up the stage steps, I see him in my mind's eye coming up with a cup of coffee. And there's something in that moment of like a thrill of excitement of like, okay, all right, okay. The song is lifeless, but the Lord is here. So Jesus, what are you saying? And that always reconnects me to be visual about where is Jesus, to visualize the Lord. And then I think at the end of the day, the other like things that keep me connected to the why are to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spirit of prophecy, like the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. And when you prophesy about the worth of Jesus, you stir yourself up. So how I came to Vertical.
True statement.
I mean, it's great. How I came to Vertical is I read about it on Facebook, and I called Kristen.
Yeah.
And I'm in a Michael's store shopping for something. And I started weeping in the aisle about how Jesus is jealous for his bride.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wasn't that fired up about it until I started talking about who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And so when I, like, real talk, when I'm like, I don't want to go to work, I'm mad at my coworkers, I'm angry that I'm here, I'm upset because so-and-so hasn't done this, you know, I'm frustrated because this person drank the last of the coffee that I made just for me, I haven't eaten meat in 2 days, like, whatever the things are, you know, like, I'm wasting my life in the middle of the night, whatever the things are, I, real talk, go alone, and I go, okay, Jesus is worthy. Yeah. I'm Hannah Verboon, and I work at David's Tent DC. And why do I work at David's Tent? Because we believe that Jesus is worthy. And I go through the elevator 20-second mm-hmm. speech, which always turns into 5, 10, 15 minutes of me just going, Jesus is worthy because he's safe and he's kind yeah. and he's lovely and he's beautiful. And at the end of the day, he is the only one who will satisfy everything in my heart. And that's always that place of declaring the declarative nature of your words. To bring Jesus in such a greater way. And spiritually, this is something we don't talk about a lot, but spiritually, God is always a present, right? He's always mm-hmm. present. But God is more present when you pay attention to him. Mm-hmm. So if I'm like, mm-hmm. if I'm focusing on like, I'm so angry.
Yeah, right.
But
on.
Then I start going, okay, but no, but Jesus is where mm-hmm. I, yeah. the only thing about Jesus that's worthy today is that there's air conditioning in the house. And so I'm not, okay, but Jesus brought me air conditioning. Okay. And also, you know, there's coffee. Okay, and also, and then the thankfulness, yeah. like as soon yeah. as you start recognizing and seeing Jesus, seeing the Father, seeing the Holy Spirit, he manifests in a much more tangible and real way. And like, I just have, sometimes I just have to exhort myself. Mm-hmm. Hannah.
Amen.
You worship the Lord. And I'm like, okay,
that's right.
Here we go. And it always ends up being more fruitful in that place. And I don't know. That's
good.
Just some things
it's
that I
so
do.
It's so good. It's so good. Well, we are just so thankful that you took time to come and be with us. And I just want to pray for you.
Okay.
So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for Hannah. I thank you, God, for the gift that she is. I thank you for the gift she is to David's Tent. I thank you, God, for the gift that she is to One Hop and to the city of Omaha. And, Lord, as she is here, just releasing the prophetic words over our house and releasing what it is that the new songs that you have given her, the new sounds that she carries. God, as she just pours that into our soil, Lord, Lord, I ask that the reward would come back to her, that the blessing would be upon her. I just, Father, I just thank you. And I just really want to honor you and I want to bless you for all that you have been putting your hands to and your time to and your energy to. And I know the cost of that fragrant offering before the Lord. So God, I just stand today and I just thank you, Father, for this one who has this extravagant gift to pour her heart out, to break the jar and just pour it on your feet. How we love you, Jesus. And we do say that you are worthy, Jesus. You're worthy of all of our time. You are worthy of all of our affection. There is no other like the Lord. So we just thank you. We thank you for this season of 168 hours. Come and on. We look forward to the continuing of this and when our house will be unceasing worship yeah. and prayer, God. So I just bless Hannah in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for being with us. What,
yeah, thank you,
what a blessing this is. I'm so glad I get to share it with so many others.
We have a couple things to share with you that are coming up, exciting events at One Hop. So, Isaac, tell us our first one that's coming up.
Yes, we are so excited. March 23rd and 24th, we are having our first conference at One Hop called Cultivating a Life of Prayer. We are hosting Brad Stroop from the Prayer Room in Dallas, Texas. They have been doing 18 hours a day prayer and worship for a number of years. He was a missionary in Africa, so he has a lot that he's learned over the years about house of prayer stuff and about worship and prayer. And he's just going to share with us about cultivating a personal life of prayer and a corporate life of prayer. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited. There's more info on our website, onehop.org, under the events tab.
Yeah, that sounds great. So, Isaac, how much is that?
That's $25.
$25. So. All right. So, yeah, check that out on our website. Make sure you register. You don't have to register ahead of time, but it really helps us out. So register online, okay? Just do it. And that's Friday and Saturday. Friday night, 7 p.m. Saturday, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Won't he do it?
And then we also have, right after our conference, beginning in April, the first week in April, we have our David Collective internship. So we are so excited about this. We have not done an internship like this before at the House of Prayer. So it's 6 hours a week. It's really for those of you who are podcast listeners, who are working full-time, or maybe you're in the marketplace, or you're in school, or you're a stay-at-home parent. And these 6 hours. We have two classes during the week at 6 a.m., so before all the busyness of your day. And then you have 4 hours in the prayer room, and every other week we have a little time to get together, pray for one another, and hear how each other's hearts as we're going through the internship. So we'll be teaching on how to go deep in a life of prayer, the Tabernacle of David, the prayer movement on the earth, and how the Lord has sustained night and day prayer throughout the history of back all the way back to David's day. And so join us for that. It's 8 weeks. Beginning the first week in April, you can sign up www.onehop.org/intern. It's real simple, and it's $75 for the tuition fee. So join us with that. Register online. Talk to one of us if you have any questions. But we want to see you in some of these events.
Yes, we do.
At One Hop. So
yes, we do.
Wow, what a great podcast. A great way to restart our podcast. I hope you enjoyed the interview. And I hope that I know you're missing Reviews by Drew. That'll be back, we promise. But come and join us at our prayer conference. Join us at the David Collective internship. And we will see you next month on our podcast.